All right, here we go. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Cave of Horrors.
I'm Fauzi.
And I'm John.
And today, it's Cave of Horrors again.
We're going to be moving away a little bit from last week's topic, which was great. We did our second episode of Agents of Arabia. But today, we are moving to a completely different place, completely different type of story. We are going...
Where?
You know where we're going? We're going to Germany.
That was in Germany? Man, I kind of have an idea about this episode, what's it like, but I didn't know it was
You know
Germany.
The topic, but you don't...
You know
the topic, but you do not know the details.
We've never been in Germany.
I've been to Germany.
I mean, like, I've been to Germany too, but I mean on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, podcast-wise, I don't believe we've ever taken a time machine down to Deutschland, right? We've been to everywhere, the United States, we've been to Syria, this is our first time going to the land of the Deutsch.
So what year is this creepy stuff?
Well, it all begins in the year 1952.
Ooh.
And it begins with a little girl. Now, when I say the name, you guys will probably, some of you, especially horror enthusiasts and people who are interested in this type of stuff, you will probably know who I am talking about, because I will be talking about a young woman by the name of Annelise Michel.
Really?
Yeah. So Annelise Michel, for those that have not heard of the name, let me give you another one. Emily Rose.
Oh, here we go. Because for a second, I was like, what? You bastard, you changed the topic?
No, that's why you were like, oh, wait, we're going to Germany? Hold up. Because you heard, I told you Emily Rose, and you were like, well, that has to be like United States or something.
Yeah, I mean, like it's Emily Rose, like, you know, the movie, everything else.
Well, turns out that Emily Rose was inspired by the story of Annelise Michel.
Whoa, so that's like the real stuff.
The real story is Annelise Michel. Emily Rose was just based off of her, and they said it in like the United States somewhere.
Oh, well, there you go. That's something that not everybody knows about, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a fan of this type of stuff researched it. But I mean, if you've seen the Emily Rose movie, this is actually a pretty famous exorcism case here. And we're going to go into why it is such an interesting story, because it's there's two sides to this tale over here. There's, of course, the demonic possessions and all the typical stuff that comes with that. But there is also the legal aspect of it, where lawyers are involved. And
really? How? Like, I don't see that.
You'll find out. You'll find out soon enough.
Wow.
So, getting into it, Annelise Michel. It is, she was born in 1952 in Bavaria, which is the west part of Germany. Yeah, she was born in West Germany, because at that time, Germany was divided into, like, West and East Germany. So, we're going to West Germany, you know. At the time, Germany was divided into the East and the West side, and she was in the West German part of Bavaria.
Right, that was after the war and everything, right?
Yeah, this was like pretty soon after World War II, and a couple, like, what, 6-7 years after the death of Hitler and everything like that. So this is all kind of recent and everything. Now, Annelise Michel, she grew up, and this is a very important fact, but Annelise came from an extremely religious Roman Catholic family. They were very, 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 very religious.
Well, that explains some things.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you'll see. It's kind of an interesting fact. Because her parents were so religious that, like, apparently the Vatican, they enacted a law to, like, make the church more modern.
All right.
You know, they were like, okay, this is a little old school. Like, we should maybe make things a little more friendly.
Yeah.
And her family was not in agreement with that. Like, that's how religious they were.
Wow.
They were like, oh, that's too fucking modern. Like, we want to keep we want to keep this old school. And for those of you who, I mean, I was raised Roman Catholic by my family. I don't identify as a Catholic anymore. But if you are Roman Catholic, you know, it's kind of
you can relate to the troubles.
Yeah. It's definitely the one of the least fun versions of Christianity there are. Wow. It's just kind of like, we suck, we should be held for our sins, life is shitty, like you're, it's just nothing but just already. Kill yourself. Just bah, just like hit, like slap yourself on the back constantly because it's no fun. So I mean, these, they were really Roman Catholic and extremely religious, and it's believed that the reason why her family was so religious was because their eldest daughter or son, I can't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but the eldest of their children died. So they kind of had this like fear in them of like they have to like really raise their children with like the fear of God.
Hmm.
So after their child was died, then Annalise was born. And then Annalise had three other siblings, but she was the eldest one. So there were four of them in total, and they, again, grew up in a pretty, I guess, normal household for the most part in terms of just kind of living a safe life in West Germany, pretty quiet. But, again, their parents were, yeah, hyper-religious. And there isn't too much information into the private life of the family, but I mean, yeah, they were hardcore about that Catholic stuff.
That's crazy, because like, how would I'm excited to get to the point where how did everything started, like how did she got involved in with whatever happened to her, you know, how did it all started?
Well, so that's kind of what's interesting, right? She, going back to Annalise had a pretty normal upbringing otherwise, right?
She wasn't like mentally ill or something.
I'm getting to this. I'm getting to this big time. Because that's, I'm glad you mentioned it actually, because that is a big that's kind of a major part of this tale of the story.
Oh.
Because Annalise, she for the most part in her youth, normal, went to school. Everyone, according to the stuff that I was reading, all the people that she grew up with said that she was a really friendly person. She was
a normal kid.
Pretty normal kid. However, around the time she turned 16 is when she started acting a little weird.
I mean, teenagers weird, you mean?
Right.
Like that's, hormones, you know.
Yeah.
Get your first period, kind of weird.
Yeah, like I'm a teenager, basic. Hormones, maybe boys, maybe girls, right. Whatever you're into.
But what kind of actions, though?
Well, apparently she was just becoming more erratic in terms of like...
All right.
Like fighting people for no reason, getting into arguments, and that would escalate.
That's pretty teenagey, I would say, so far.
Yeah. I mean, you could say, okay, that's kind of teenagey. Teenagers go through phases in their lives.
We've all like been this at the stage of like being just arrogant and stubborn and
right.
Just like fight and yell at everyone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you could logically say that when you're about 15, 16, you're going through a period in your life. And you're acting, you know, like you're loud, you fight your parents all the time, you don't want to talk to anyone, like you get aggressive with people.
Right.
However, for Annalise, it gets more intense.
Oh, boy.
In the sense that she slowly becomes so withdrawn that when she's in class, for example, like she just stops talking to her classmates, like she just stops talking to people. She could be emo. She could just be like a 1950s emo person.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But according to most people, they started to really worry because she really was just not really socializing much. And not only that, but she was also like leaning really hard into the religion, like really hard.
But that's good, no? I mean, like not for them at the time, for her family, for whatever reason.
Well, her parents were probably happy about it, but they
like,
were...
Like, yes, you're going depressed and you wish to kill yourself. That's the spirit, young lady.
Yeah, thank God. Like,
I'm proud of you.
Oh, she's doing exactly what we wanted to. She's like whipping herself on her back.
There you
perfect.
Go.
You know. You know what? It's true. Like, definitely there's a little bit of this. Her parents probably may be thinking like, okay, you know, she's hyper fearful of God and she's acting strange. Okay, maybe that's the path that she should be going into. Who knows? Perhaps. But, what happens is, as she starts to get worse, now we're talking 17, 18, 19 years old. her parents decide to take her to a psychiatrist.
All right.
Which, yeah.
Which is surprising at the time, if they believe in this stuff.
I was surprised too when I read this, because wow. I'm like, okay, these people are super religious. It's weird that they're taking her to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, because normally
very religious people don't believe in this kind of stuff.
No, they're like, no, let's just not do that. But they did try taking her to, I wonder if that's real,
just to make the... to make them look good. Like, yeah, we tried psychiatrist, but actually just took her to the church and smacked her. Right? I wonder if that part is true.
Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought.
Mm.
What happens is they take her to the doctor. I'm not entirely sure if it was psychologist, psychiatrist. But
all right, but like, you know, a doctor of mental health.
Right. Not a religious, not a priest or a bishop, like just a hospital doctor.
Not yet.
And they start like prescribing her drugs.
Whoa, right? Like,
yeah, like this is the thing that's also kind of bad, because I kind of have a feeling that they were just like, hey.
They fucked her up probably with this thing. So, I mean, like back in the day, probably they weren't like, you know, so advanced with all these drugs.
They didn't even know. They were just like, yeah, remember
they like put a thing in your nose and push it into your brain to stop you from being aggressive.
That is facts. Like, that is
brutal. You know, kind of.
I definitely thought about that. If you really think about it,
do you think they fucked her up? If that part is true, probably.
I definitely think that people in the 50s did not know. Well, okay, let's say the 60s, because at this point she's like 17 or 18 or whatever. So it's like the late 1960s now, maybe early 70s.
Yeah.
I don't think people were, they completely knew what a lot of the medication did, or they had an idea, but they weren't like as advanced. Oh, we've
seen that, yeah.
You know,
not just kind of like,
you know, if you mix a little glue with some lemon sauce, you know, okay, maybe not to that extent,
but yeah.
But, you know, like, remember when like the government was experimenting in the United States? The government used to experiment with like LSD and like these drugs and heroin. It's like, yeah, well, people feel good on it. It works. And then they would be dead like 3 months later from addiction. I don't think people really knew that much.
All right. Let's not get off. I want to know. Like, okay. So she does start taking the medication.
She does. She starts taking the medication, and it starts to help, I suppose. But I think for the most part, it just sedates her. Like, you know, it just kind of like keeps her like, eh, you know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, as this is happening, her condition starts to get worse. So she not only starts to get more like crazy and erratic, but she starts getting seizures.
Oh,
so
damn.
She starts like getting like epileptic attacks and
God,
stuff.
God, I wonder, man, if they fucked her up. That's just sad.
Well, the thing is this. I have a feeling that they didn't necessarily fuck it up, because they gave her, I don't think, they, well, like, not like she, they gave her the hardest drugs in the world.
You see, she grew up a normal kid, and you, when you're a teenager, nothing really bad happened. Like, she wasn't experiencing any of this stuff when she was a kid, which means she wasn't really ill during her early years.
Yeah. Yeah, it, so, she seemed to be fine up until her teenage years, apparently.
I wonder what really happens. What really happened at that?
I mean,
if it was the medication, or if someone did something to her, or...
Well, I know that it's not necessarily impossible that you could be normal, and then in your teenage years, you get like...
You go nuts.
you get a little seizure action, or... Perhaps you
like
you
an
develop
anxiety
some,
attacks and this kind of stuff.
It's possible. I mean
yeah.
you could develop those issues later when you're
that,
a teenager.
That's true.
It's
that's
not
true.
Impossible.
That's true.
And I would say that that's definitely the case here, because she was getting seizures. So it's not like she has to get them from the time she's born. Yeah, she got it 15 years after, but you know.
Right.
Anyways, she gets the seizures. They give her medication for it in the 1970s at this point. I think she's getting close to 20 years old, and she's not reacting to it really. Now, when the demon-y stuff comes into play,
oh no,
is because apparently her sisters would say that she like would just do things that seem kind of crazy. Like, she would be able to, when they would play in the room, she could lift her sisters up and throw them across the room.
Oh, come on.
And apparently she had supernatural strength. Like, she threw them like a rag doll.
Like, I wonder, dude. So this is documented.
According to the sister of Annalise, She was like, yeah.
I mean, we all exaggerated when we fought with our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, oh, gee, just throw me right across the wall.
Yeah, it could be an exaggeration. I mean, it could have just been like she just pushed her off the bed.
Yeah,
you know. Then she was like, no, she took me and threw me 40 feet in the air.
Supernatural. I mean, like, she was going crazy as well at the moment. And so they were like, oh, you know, might as well use that as an excuse.
Right.
But, like, we don't know.
Right. So she started to exhibit supernatural strength. And then along with that, now she started getting the seizures, but she also started to hallucinate. So she started to like see visions and things. Like she started to kind of like, they found a little bit when during the time period that they were visiting doctors, they found that she had something called temporal lobe epilepsy. So there was like a part of her brain that was like, I guess something was up with this part of the brain where she was getting her seizures and her attacks.
I see.
Now, you would probably say, okay, you should definitely keep seeing doctors because I think that your daughter could definitely potentially have brain damage. Like, there's some type of, like, she really needs to see some medical help for this. Right.
I mean, that was how they started, so might as well keep going through with this.
But the family doesn't do that.
Oh, boy.
The family doesn't do that. Because what happens is, I don't know what, but I guess they went to church once and they noticed Yeah, right. They noticed that Annalise was acting like really, like she hated religious things. Like they, you know, the holy water. She was like, oh, I don't like holy water. Like she started throwing it away. She didn't like the holy water.
So that was like
and the churches and the crosses were really bothering her. So she was like, no, get away from me.
Maybe she just got fed up with this shit. Like, she just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
That would be kind of crazy if they found out that she was like reading Marxism or something. Like she was reading other things in class. And she was like, oh, wait, what the fuck is this shit? But then her parents were so hardcore into like instilling the fear of God that it kind of had a mix. And man. And then, you know, her own issues and it just... I mean, who knows? But anyways, the point is they took her to church and she reacted negatively to all the, you know, all the Catholic stuff, the crosses, the water. She didn't like it. So then they started to believe that perhaps she was possessed.
That's it. That's it. I would believe it if I saw you it throw must holy be that. Water on her and she's start like fuming in smoke.
Yeah,
and just like, you know, that's it. She's possessed with like seven demons. And actually, I don't know.
That's hilarious. Oh my god. Just so hilarious that you say that because you were so close. But what happens is that, you know, like other than that, she was apparently also, according to her sister, she would stare at saints, like the statues, and then her eyes would be jet black. Like her eyes would be.
Oh, come on, man. I would love to see that. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that story is true.
Right?
Like, but like still, you know, I've never watched the movie, by the way, but I know how popular it is.
Right.
That's the good thing that I was like, all right, fucking let's do this story. I don't know nothing about it. So
yeah, I mean, don't get me. I know that in the eyes going black thing, that would be, imagine some of that happening. You know, let's be honest. If her sister saw it, who really knows if her eyes really went all black?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like maybe she just started staring at them like that.
It's straight like an episode straight out of Supernatural.
Yeah, it really is. It is like something out of Supernatural, you know? But, so all this stuff...
Call the Winchesters for the help.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so after the church events...
Okay, after the church events, in 1976 or so, her seizures started to get worse. So they started to, at this point, it's getting really bad. She, at this point, I remember that she was actually in college and she also had a boyfriend.
Whoa.
Yeah. So at some point during this whole thing,
it went actually,
yeah, she had a boyfriend during the whole thing.
So I would assume she was better or like how?
I'm not entirely sure. And there isn't much information on the boyfriend either.
But she did go to college.
She went to university her condition was so bad that she never went back because she was at that point getting really bad seizures. And her boyfriend was actually very supportive, and he was there all the time. But
that's really kind, man.
Yeah.
For a guy to dip his fingers in such a mess.
Yeah, to like stick around during all that. Especially because at the time, things were really worsening it was rough, dude. I mean, at this point, she was already starting to act really strange. I'm talking not just seizures, but apparently she wasn't eating a lot of food. She was starting to eat less and less. And she was also seen trying to eat flies.
What?
She tried to crush flies and eat them.
Oh, she went crazy.
Yeah, she was going full blown at this point. Like she had worsened tremendously from before. So she started doing that. She started apparently peeing, and then she would try to drink her own pee.
Oh my God. What a man.
So she was really...
If she was doing that now, she would be casted by one of these websites, you know.
Oh, like streamed?
Best list or whatever.
Oh man. Well, if this happened nowadays, she probably would have received actual medical treatment.
True, and then she would probably crazy.
Not man. Have to, you know, she would have been maybe
that was
cured.
Like what? Yeah, that was like 60 years ago, you know?
Right, it was a while ago, you know? So, so her condition was getting a lot worse at this point. She started to scream and yell, like her behavior started getting pretty bad. The family, because they saw her behavior around crosses and religious images, they decided to hire exorcists. And I mean, let's face it, the family's already hyper religious anyway, so they're
right,
like,
might as well try that.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, this is definitely, it's definitely the work of the devil, you know?
Of course.
So they hired these two priests, and they came to do some exorcisms on her. They immediately... It's kind of funny because when you read the story, it's almost like the priests looked at her pretty quickly and were like, she's possessed. She's possessed, you know? Like, it was very
like
fast.
Right away, he just opens the door.
Yeah, like, they looked at her, and they were like, oh, okay, she's malnourished, she's losing weight, she does not like crosses.
I
and
think
they were
this
like possessed.
Fucking bishop was just desperate for a case.
This is what's really interesting when you say that. Turns out that they decided to keep it completely private. So they did not want to tell anybody about these cases.
Yeah, because scandals at the time go viral and fuck up your whole family reputation.
Right. I mean, I'm not... actually, that's what... I don't know if I agree with that. I'm a little... It's weird to me that these priests wanted to keep it private because...
So the priests wanted to keep it private.
Yeah, they did not want to let any... Like, they wanted to do private exorcisms on Annalise, but they did not want... No, it was the priests who wanted that. That's
God,
the weird part.
I wonder, man.
Because you would think, right? Like, wouldn't they be like, hey... You know, like, this is a great case. Like, what does the church want more than anything? They want people to believe in them, right? What better way to believe in the church than to have a demonic possession to prove, to say, yeah, look, this girl is possessed by a demon and we have to save her. Like, that's what they would actually want. However, the priest decided they wanted to keep
and there's
it secret.
There's no solid explanation for this decision.
I've been trying to look for information on that, and I can't find anything as to why the priest didn't want to tell anybody about it. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the fact that actually, okay, my hunch is this is Germany only maybe 6-7 years after World War II. Apparently, Germany was extremely secular at the time, meaning that they were not they're not very religious. So they were very like Germany at the time was not very religious, and they were like very science and look, we have to be, you know, we have to be critical thinkers. Like, we can't. So perhaps because Germany as a whole wasn't going through this phase, like, of just not being hyper, hyper religious.
Right, yeah, I keep forgetting.
Because
that
of
that
all
was
the
Germany.
Stuff with Nazi Germany, some like the decade before. I mean, it's only been 20 years at best. Between 1945 to 1970, it's still fairly recent considering how enormous World War II was. It's
that
not
could
that
be
far
a,
away.
A really big reason in why.
So it's a situation where perhaps the priests, because they were afraid of the government getting involved, they were like, let's just do it without anyone knowing.
Right.
That's possible. That's my guess. Because I would imagine they would definitely want to tell people. They would be like, yeah, yeah, look, look, demons. Demons exist. They're real. Here they are. And we're here to save the day. Like, no, they want to show you that.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Because if this things were happening in Germany around all that time, I think that could be a reason. But we don't know.
Yeah. We don't really know. But anyways, the two priests... they decide to go ahead and perform some exorcisms on her, at which point Annalise starts to display the typical things that we see from like possessed people, right? Like she starts like speaking and like, who art thou who tries to get rid of me from her body? You know, like saying,
oh,
like,
my God.
Like the like, type of stuff that you would expect right away from someone who's possessed. So it gets to the point where she's, you know, doing that. She's also like, it gets really bad actually. Like she starts scratching her own body and like making herself bleed.
That's crazy.
She starts getting on her knees to pray, but you know, like instead of like kneeling like a normal person, yeah, she just drops. Like she just goes like she just like slams her knees on the floor to the point where she shatters her own knees.
Oh my God.
Like she smashed her own knees because one, she kept like to get down and pray, like she kept getting down on her knees so hard she broke them, and she's also severely like losing weight because she's right, not eating, so her body's holy super shit vulnerable.
It's brutal, man.
Yeah, so she like smashed her knees. She's starting to just completely fall apart, like just that's it. So the whole situation is pretty bad, and overall between I think 1975 and 1976 they performed a total of 67 exorcisms.
Whoa!
On Annalise Michel.
What the fuck? Can you do that? Like, how?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. They're a secret, so people didn't know.
So, well, like, they're fucking, like, bashing her with these exorcisms once a day?
Once
or
a
even
week.
More.
Because if you think about it, actually more, because it was maybe like a year. 67, there's 52 weeks in a year. They did 67, so that means that's almost
like
that's
more.
Like,
you do it for a few weeks, and if it's not working, obviously something's wrong. But, like, they're like, all right, it's a job, and I'm going to keep doing it for a whole year.
Yeah.
And what happened afterwards?
So
they did the shit to
her. They did the shit to her.
Week,
they
for
did
a whole,
for a year. For, they performed the exorcisms on her.
Oh, boy.
And she
how did she live for a year, like during all this madness?
Dude, it's nuts. She was, I mean, she was in her parents' home while this was all happening,
right?
So they
just locked her in her room?
Yeah, and then they were just
doing fucking animal?
They were just doing exorcisms on her all the time to try to get her, but like obviously it's not working.
God damn, dude.
And at this point, I mean, she's in really rough shape. I think at that point she was like
skeleton.
Yeah, apparently she weighed a total of, I think it's 32 kilos.
No.
Which is
literally a skeleton.
68 pounds.
Crazy.
So you're talking about someone who is severely malnourished. At this point, she's 23 years old.
Oh my God.
So for a 23-year-old woman to weigh 32 kilos, like 68 pounds.
Literally just bones.
Your bones. Like she was not eating. She was not like nothing. Like she just would not. She would take apparently a little bit of milk. Like she would drink a little bit of milk and maybe, you know, a bit of water, but nothing. Like she would refuse to eat. They couldn't. And this entire time, by the way, not seeing a doctor. Not seeing a doctor.
I mean,
not seeing a psychiatrist.
Like,
not
what
just
is
the church.
This?
That's it.
That's weird. That's fucking bizarre.
That's weird, right? So I want to talk a little bit about the actual proceedings, because we did talk about how she did 67. They did 67 exorcisms on Annalise, but I want to talk more about the actual stuff happening during the exorcisms.
Why
so,
did they do 67? Like, did they do like 66?
Right?
And they're like, oh no,
yeah,
that's the number of the beast. Come on, let's do one more and call it off.
Oh my God. That's true. They were like, how many are we at?
Oh, that's and he's a, like, bro, come
and,
on,
and,
let's
and,
go.
Right, and can you imagine one of them is like, let's just do one again tomorrow. And then he's like, oh, but I'm tired. And he's like, no, come on, we got to do one more. 66 sounds weird.
Come on, people are going to, you
sounds
know.
Sounds weird. And he's like, oh, fine. And then, like, they had to go on Tuesday.
I'm
like,
pretty
you know,
sure that's what it is. I'm pretty
oh,
fucking
boy.
Sure that's what it was.
They were just like, damn, just going to have to, like, get a better number there that doesn't look so
whatever.
You know, sketchy.
Crazy.
So apparently at that point, Annalise was doing two things. One thing that she was really doing is she started to say that she had to suffer for the sins of the people. She apparently, when she was possessed...
Oh, she was saying this stuff?
Yeah, when she was possessed, she was saying that she has to suffer for the way that people were becoming more sinful, you know? Like, people are becoming sinful, hippies, drugs, sex. Like, I have to suffer for their sins. Like,
wow.
She started to see herself as maybe a sacrifice to God because of all the
Surprised that she's still able to, like, think and say stuff, you know? I at this point, I would imagine that she just turned into, like, an animal-like kind of actions.
No,
creature.
She was a slow transformation. So that was part one. Part one was her sort of saying that she was there was a penitence she was paying for the things that for that in the church, because the church was apparently becoming more modern
and these are also
her family. Remember, her family was already on this because they're already super religious. So she's basically mimicking a lot of the things that her family already did.
True.
And she was just, you know, like, I'm possessed. And, like, she's reinforcing what her family had been always saying to her, probably. That the church is going to hell, that the church is becoming too modern, that people are, you know, fucking sleeping around and doing drugs or whatever.
Right.
Anyways, the second part of it is when we start to talk about the demons that possessed her. So, you said before, what are there, seven demons? You were close. There were, like, six.
Really?
Yeah, so...
Wow.
Apparently, there were, like, six demons that were possessed, that were possessing her body.
I did not expect that. I was, like, probably just one demon.
No, there were six. There were, like, five or six.
I mean, and they figured that out. Like, they were like, well, she's possessed by six. Well, she speaks six different languages?
No. What happens is she would talk as the demon. And they're all famous people, by the way.
What?
Like, they're all famous people. Famous
demons?
Yeah. So it's like this is where it's really suspicious, where you're like, really, dude? Because no. It's like she says, I am Judas, and I am speaking, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, saying I'm Judas, I betrayed the holy savior, or whatever, or something like that, and I am, you know, and I have seen the evils of the underworld, and it's too painful, so that's why I'm in her body possessing her, because, like,
poetic.
Basically Judas saying that it's so horrible in hell that he needs to be inside of Annalise because it feels that way. He doesn't have to burn for eternity or whatever.
I wonder if people come up with all this bullshit, dude. It's crazy.
I mean, it's a little... So Judas was the first one. So, then Cain. Right.
Oh, whoa! Cain chipped in too?
Cain, you know, he joined the group chat as well.
Oh my God.
Cain joined the group chat.
Bro, Cain, like, that's, like, you know, the oldest one. He's like, you know.
Yeah, the original, right? Wasn't he the original?
Yeah, he's like, they were like, bro, come on, you should come with us. And he's like, guys, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, can you imagine that conversation?
But, like, you started it all, bro. You started it all.
Bro, you gotta wait till you see this lineup. Check it out.
Oh, my God.
So, Cain is there. Fucking, who else joined the party? It was, this guy named Legion.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, this is some other biblical stuff that I don't know, but someone named Legion.
It's kind of weird that all these...
Nero, old Roman emperor.
And what is this, like, Devil May Cry now?
Bro.
Oh my God, that's nuts.
It's like the Roman emperor Nero was apparently also possessing her body. Because stay tuned for that, because I've actually wanted to do an episode on him someday in the future, because that's like he actually was a really asshole. Like, he was a horrible human being.
I heard about him.
But anyways, he was in her because he was supposed to be one of, like, the most evil emperors ever.
So they were like, all right, we're gonna bring the worst demons and throw him in her.
Yeah. And there's one more. There's one more.
Lucifer.
No, who do you think it would be?
Yeah, he wouldn't.
He's more modern.
He's modern.
He's modern. Let's think. He's bad. It has a lot to do with where Annalise lives.
I mean, like, he's not a demon. He's a personality.
Nero was a human too.
That's what, like, you know, that's Hitler.
Yep.
No. What? Come on. What? And now he can possess stuff?
Bro,
here we go. I'm done.
Hitler joined. Yeah,
I'm jumping off the window.
Hitler joined the party as well.
That's so, just come on.
So you have Hitler, Hitler, Nero, Cain, Legion, and Judas, the original. So you have all five. What a, I mean, and so imagine they're all like in hell. Like, all right, you want to go in there first, or am I going to go in there? You know what I mean? They're just like taking turns thinking to themselves.
Can you imagine people believe this fucking crazy shit? I mean, come on, like, it got to a point where you just can't. You just can't accept this.
Can you imagine Hitler trying to convince, like, and then Nero's like imagine
so Hitler
him, like,
was like so bad that he Hitler, was like,
hey, Hitler's like,
Hitler, come here, bruh. Now you're with us.
It's like, oh, but I've only been dead for 20 years.
They're like, well, but you outlasted us all. Like, you pretty much did what none of us.
And then Nero's like, you only killed 6 million people, amateur. You know, he's like, like, he's like, I've killed 20 million.
Yeah, like, he was like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Like, they're just taking turns saying who's more of a, like, more of a psychopathic, well, monster.
Man, I feel for this girl, bro. Like, she's, what a poor soul.
Well, apparently they're all possessing Annalise Michel. All five of these. All
right, let's get now. Real. Let's get real.
So she continues to talk through them and stuff, and that continues to happen. Of course, I mean, who knows at the end of the day. But at some point during the exorcisms, they stop. Oh, what happens, I almost forgot to mention this, is after a year of the exorcisms, she starts to vomit. She vomits apparently like four times. No, she vomits four times.
God, and man, she's sick. Take her to the fucking hospital.
Yeah, I agree. But before, I mean, we'll definitely have, you're right.
Crazy.
But what happens is for every time that she vomits, the priests say that it's one of the demons that has left her body.
Oh, come on. So what, like she vomited a million times?
So she vomits. And she vomits once, and they're like, okay, that must have been, like, Judas or, like, one of them left.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know what, though? At the same time, like, it is funny. It's funny from the perspective of the ignorance.
Yeah, but it's actually...
But it's really sad because, you know, when you look at just this poor girl and what she's been through, it is horrifying. I mean, the level of suffering this girl went through is terrifying, and it's heartbreaking to see. We're going to, you know, we'll post a lot of the pictures.
Oh, man, I can't. These photos are really sad.
They're really rough, dude. Like, they are rough. Like, when you, like, there's pictures of her where she's being held down by people and her face is covered in scratches. She's got two black eyes.
I can see that.
And her black eyes, I'm not sure if that is due to her hitting herself or if the black eyes are because she hasn't slept at all. Like, you would imagine if someone hasn't slept for months and they're suffering from chronic insomnia mixed with epilepsy, her body is just falling to pieces.
I feel like it's all her parents' fault, man.
Hold on to that thought as well. We'll talk about that in a bit. But so she vomits, and then they're like, okay, she vomited. That must have been Cain or one of these guys. Another, she vomits again and vomits again and vomits again. And they're like, okay, I think we got rid of the spirits. But she only vomited like four times. And there were five demons.
Probably like five, two or one, yeah.
Right. So they're like, you know, I get, and apparently during these exorcisms, they were talking to the demon. Which, from what I understand, in modern day exorcisms, you can't do that. When you, in modern day, if you do an exorcism, you cannot talk directly to the demon. Your job is to show love or to show protection to the person who is being possessed. You can't be like, get the hell out of here, we're gonna banish you to hell. You can't do that.
That's actually that's an interesting thought, because still to this day in Islamic traditions, they do that.
Oh really?
Yeah, they would communicate with the demon and cast them out.
Now, I'm not sure, but like, from what I understand in modern day exorcisms, this isn't done too much. I'm not sure if this occurs everywhere in the world, but what I know is that usually, or what I read is that usually exorcists, they are not encouraged to be aggressive with the demon, but rather to protect.
Right.
But anyways, these guys were not doing that shit. They were like, get out of here. Leave her body. Pretty Leave the body of this child. You know, like saying shit like that. So at some point, they realized that there was one more demon, and then the demon revealed itself as Judas.
So Judas was like the last guy.
Yeah, he was like, peekaboo, I'm still here. You know? So he was like still in the, you know, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. I was number one, and I'm still around. So apparently, Judas was still in there wreaking havoc and possessing poor Annalise. And at this point, I mean, this is almost the end. I think this is at this point 1976 or so. Yeah, around 1976. And she was at this point in the end, at the end of a rope. She completely dehydrated. She was barely drinking droplets of milk. Like, that's all she would have. I think at this point, her body, like, she couldn't, like, her body could not move. Like, she could not move her body unless she was having her seizures sick. She was sick. She was completely, she needed professional help immediately, which she was not getting at all. And
just since that wasn't a very long time ago, I wanted to ask in the beginning of the episode, like, is if she's still alive or how old is she? But don't answer. I want to know what happened. Well, yeah, I don't want to know until the end. Like, I don't want to know.
Well, the thing is, she was at this point. Yeah, she's at the end. So the final exorcism they performed on her was on June 30th of 1976.
Final exorcism, I'm assuming.
Oh, wait, yeah. So, final exorcism was on that date. She, you know, I mean, come on. They've done like fucking 100 of these things. Nothing's helping. These are obviously not helping her. So, what do you think? Not much happened. She finally begged for absolution to the priest, Alt and Priest Renz. And then at the end of the night, she said, crying, this is fucking heartbreaking. She said to her mother, "Mother, I'm afraid."
Oh my God.
And
poor girl.
And the morning of July 1st, her parents and the priest came into the room and she was dead. The age of 23.
Because no one fucking knew how to take care of her. This is crazy.
She never received medical attention.
This is crazy, in my opinion.
There you go.
Oh, this is so sad. Poor girl, dude.
So she was, yeah. So they found her the next day after she said, "Mother, I'm afraid." They found her in her room. She dead at the age of 23. And she weighed, 68 pounds.
Wow.
So the cause of death was, of course, dehydration and malnutrition.
I mean, what do you fucking expect?
Yeah, I mean, when you have somebody who clearly needs
this is ignorance,
medical
people,
attention immediately, and you don't do it.
This is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
It is absolutely heartbreaking.
Come on, I get it. You've done it once, twice, 67 times. Let it fucking go. Take her to the hospital. It's 50 years ago. This stuff exists. Go take care of her. She needs to see a doctor. That's why it's kind of sketchy when you said first, oh, so they took her to a psychiatrist and they gave her medication. That's why I'm pretty fucking sure they fabricated the story to make themselves look like, oh, you know, like, we did try that, and it didn't work.
It's possible.
And I would not expect that from an insane religious family. I would not fucking expect this kind of action.
I wouldn't expect it either. That's the thing. I'm like, if this family's obviously very religious, I don't know if they would have taken her to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. It doesn't. I mean, they didn't do that. And they watched her. They watched her daughter slowly die.
Pretty much.
Without taking her to the hospital once. So I'm really doubtful that they actually took her to psychiatrists and doctors beforehand, even if it was years before. And it's like, you know, it's also heartbreaking because the times they did take her to the hospital or they took her to the doctor, they just popped pills into her and they just gave her pills.
Fucked her up even more.
Might have fucked her up even worse until, you know, she was full blown either schizophrenic or epileptic, and then she received no professional help, and then these stupid ass priests would come once a week like, the power of Christ compels you.
Not even like actual legitimate demons. Like, people are fucking possessed in her now at this point. Like, come on, bro.
Whew. Well, there's more. So
there's more. Oh, no.
We have to talk a little bit about, very quickly, about the trials. Because after she passes away, it's not like it just ended here.
The government got involved?
Yeah, they were like, whoa, wait a minute.
This is a fucking murder now.
This girl died, and you didn't take her to the hospital for over a year, and instead you just did like 70 exorcisms? Hold on.
Don't fuck around with Germany, man.
No, and the thing is, the Germans are, like I said before, they were very secular. They were very much about...
It wasn't were not a religious playing, ruling government.
I mean, not really. Not, yeah, maybe a little bit, as yeah. you know, like Germany is still, you know, primarily, I mean, it's still a nation that believes in Christianity, but I mean, they're not, they were secular as fuck. Like,
right.
They're not going to just leave it there and bury, you know, throw everything under the rug and pretend it didn't
happen. So this happened after she dies. They're like, what the fuck you guys did?
After she dies, they decided to, this, oh my God, this is wild. Wait till you hear this shit.
Oh boy.
She passes away and they, of course, do the funeral and all that. The family is heartbroken and everything. And what happens is they talk to a sister. You know,
one of the sisters.
No, like the sister from like a nun, like a,
oh,
like
I a see
religious
it.
Woman,
yeah.
And this, who was close to the family. And at one point, she said that she believed that perhaps because her spirit was free from the demons,
mm-hmm.
that her body was still preserved, like Jesus's was.
Oh, of course.
Somehow or another.
Well, like her body was preserved.
Yeah, like when she died, her body was still intact because maybe she
because
was
she's
like
bones.
No, it, like nothing. She still had flesh. Like she still had like she still looked.
Yeah, but like it's been a few.
No, at this point, it had been like months. It had been like,
whoa,
a, it had
how?
Been like a really
they
long
her,
time.
Like,
no,
whoa,
she
why
was
the fuck?
No,
I'm
she
confused.
Was
confused.
Like she was buried. They buried Annalise Michelle, and then the woman, the nun, was like, maybe you should look at her body. Maybe she never decomposed because
this
perhaps
is like fucking necrophilia now.
Bro, because they were because what she was saying was that perhaps what happened is because she was a sacrifice, like the way Jesus sacrificed
so her
himself,
body would,
she
God
would come back to life or some shit.
Oh, come on.
Or her body was still preserved to some degree.
All right.
Somehow or another, the family manages to convince the people to undig Annalise Michelle.
The family is the worst
These
part
people are,
of this story.
They're
woo
family. This
family
is
fucking murdered their child. That's
basically
how it is.
This is negligence to like level 1,000.
Are you fucking? She died. Let it go. Let
this
it
is,
fucking
this
go.
Is negligence to level 1,000,000. And not only that, but yeah, you're. I mean, it is what it is, dude. You let your daughter die of malnutrition, and you're lucky you're not in prison.
And now you're like,
you're
well,
lucky you're not in prison.
She could be alive. Let's dig it up, baby. And the zombie daughter.
Well,
isn't...
they are expecting that they're gonna unearth Annalise, and that she's gonna be full, you know, like she's gonna look exactly the same.
Oh God, they did it.
And then of course they took her out and it was just bones.
Oh my God, this girl won't even rest in peace in her grave.
It's horrific.
Like, let her
for
fucking be.
All this suffering and everything, and you're gonna make like just
no one fucking chipped in to defend her and be like, leave that fucking person alone.
Bro, I don't know how they pulled this off. I don't know how anyone agreed to unearth the grave of this
well,
poor girl.
Well, since they're fucking working with the church and all these priests in private,
right.
They have, you know, their
There's
hand
some...
is wild.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
have
yeah,
a
yeah.
fucking connection.
They have a connection, maybe. Anyways, they were all wrong. She was not going to come back to life. She was bones.
And the nun was like,
decomposed.
Well, I guess I was just fucking hallucinating.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, I don't know.
Like, nobody.
Maybe that's the way Jesus, you know, you have to, like, wait 15 days. Like, it's just.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying.
I know, but what, can you imagine? They take
Dude,
it that far.
It's crazy. It's just the level of. Anyways, going to the trials. So there was also trials because they were saying that this is negligence, as it was, and that they should be held accountable, not just the family, but the priests.
Right.
What's very interesting about all this is check this little detail out. Turns out that one of the priests who performed the exorcisms, he suffered from schizophrenia. So one of the fucking priests
who Are you fucking serious?
One of the priests who was involved in the exorcism was like, yeah, we gotta do it because she's gonna die. This motherfucker was schizophrenic.
Oh,
are you serious?
God.
So the guy was living out his, well, he perhaps was so, his reality was so distorted that he thought that she was really possessed.
It's probably the guy who walked in right away. He's like, yeah, she's possessed.
She's possessed.
Probably this
and,
that
and
one.
Meanwhile, he also should be as well seeking medical attention. So the guy was also schizophrenic.
Oh, boy.
So anyways, they, of course, held the trials. The family suggested that they did see they were like, yeah, but we did take her to the doctor and nothing worked. And when she exhibited certain things, blah, 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 blah. The priests, their defense was basically that. Their defense was that you can't explain certain things when it comes to religious powers or things that you just aren't unexplainable. They did take her to the doctor previously and there was no solution to the problem. You know, there were all these things that they invented. The prosecutors, the people were like, their excuse was pretty clear. I mean, their story was 67 exorcisms and you just watched as a little girl, as a 23-year-old woman, decayed to death for one whole year and you didn't do anything. So they went back and forth during the trials to see what happened. And for those that are listening, what do you think? Do you think this was demonic possession, or do you think what we think here, which is that this is just complete negligence and that this girl needed medical attention because she probably suffered from some form of epilepsy, schizophrenia, and it just got worse and worse and worse? What do you think?
Yeah.
But anyways, unfortunately for us, the priest did not go to jail. Community service. They were just like, here, just do like a few hours of community service.
Are you kidding me?
The family the family also didn't go to jail either, and they said that they had suffered enough, which,
sure, but like, you fucked it up.
Yeah, they did, but, you know. So none of them went to jail. None of them did any sort of jail time for any of this at all.
And fucking soul just faded away for nothing.
Basically, you let a human being die. You let a human being die, all because of total negligence. However, what happened was they did, in fact, record several of the exorcism sessions.
There's recordings.
So,
we gotta fucking hear those.
I've heard them, and they are absolutely terrifying.
All right, I'm gonna try to include some of these.
We will try to include we'll throw these in the podcast you guys can listen and see some of the images. And viewer discretion is advised. Like, I am saying,
yeah,
if you guys are listening, please, you know,
if
like
you have
if you're
with
squeamish,
these things,
it's
just skip ahead.
This stuff is pretty gnarly, man. I mean, the girl, the images are very hard to watch. The images of Annalise Michelle are difficult to look at. And the sounds of the exorcisms are absolutely heartbreaking as well. They're really hard to listen to.
Just to let you know.
Yeah, it's a rough one. So what they did is the recordings that they had for the exorcisms, they played them during the court trials because you have to, right?
Yeah.
They played them, and that's how we have those recordings, because they would have probably disappeared forever if they had not been played in the court trials. That's why we can hear them today, because they had to use them and then they were recorded and now we have them. So, yeah, so we got to hear that's and yeah, you could that's why we have that in 2020. We can still hear the recordings of this exorcism, and it definitely gives you you can't really understand much unless you speak German. If you don't speak German, you won't understand, but it is rough to hear because her voice, I mean, this is the thing is, you could hear in Annalise's voice, you could hear that she has not had anything to drink or anything to eat because her voice is ripping to pieces as she's screaming.
Crazy.
And it's
all in German.
It's all in German. Well,
shout out to all German friends. You will have an original experience with this.
And as a matter of fact, this would be pretty. If anyone out there who's listening is German and could be so kind as to even help us translate what is being said, that would actually be very helpful.
Right.
Just to know what is happening during the actual exorcisms, because that would definitely be interesting to have somebody be able to translate what is being said during the exorcisms.
But if it's too horrific for you, just let it go. We're not asking that.
Honestly, definitely only do it if you're up for the task.
So that was the end of it?
That is the end of the story. There is one tiny final piece, which is that on June 6th of 2013,
whoa,
for some weird... Yeah, this is, you know, really recent. Apparently, the home where Annalise lived and died went up in flames.
What? Really?
Yeah.
And like just went up in flames.
Well, according to people back
was someone
in
living
Germany,
there anyway?
No. I don't believe anyone died in the fire. No one died. I'm not entirely sure.
But the house she lived in.
But the house went up burned. And nobody knows if that is complete, you know, a work of the devil, a work of spirits, or if that was just like someone dropped by accident, left the stove on, and boom.
Man.
So that is basically the end of it. You know, that is the end of the story of Annalise.
That was
Michelle.
Really intense, dude. Like, not on the brutal level as we do in our Cave of Crimes episodes. But it's not like as gory, but it's intense emotionally,
well,
I would say.
And I would say it's also different from our other Cave of Horrors, because in the other ones you have cases that are kind of like you can't really explain. Here, I mean, it really depends which side you take. I understand.
It's like,
if you believe that this was a real case of demonic possession, look.
We're
who
not
is
judging,
to say?
Right?
We could never really know. For me, and this is my verdict,
right,
and how I feel. This is somebody who was raised in a hyper-religious household.
Gosh.
And she probably started suffering from seizures, and she started developing other forms of schizophrenia, other forms of mental diseases. She never received any help for any of this. And it just helped to basically worsen her situation. Not only that, but because she wasn't eating food, making her hallucinations worse.
This is fucking pretty basic logical stuff.
The case is strong that in all likelihood this is pure negligence from her family, from the priests.
This is so sad.
And this is just
so sad.
This is
and
what
I
happens
bet it's
when
it's not
you,
the
you
only
don't.
Case in the world that's, you know.
No.
I'm pretty sure there's more. Well, there you have it.
There you have it. It's a very, very sad story. And it's a shame that it had to end in the worst possible way. Because you always know that, you always think that she could have been saved. Like if you had just taken
right,
her to the hospital,
yes,
she would still maybe
yes,
even be alive today. And she would have been, you know, one would hope.
Yes.
But
wow,
this is, you know, pretty sad story. I would have to say this one.
Yeah, it's pretty intense emotionally. I agree.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode.
Right. Really. We really appreciate it if you were able to stick around till the end.
Yeah.
And that's it for tonight. Enough.
Yeah,
for
what we'll
tonight.
Do is we'll include a few super short clips of the exorcism cases.
Yeah,
like
see.
I said, giving you this warning right now, if you don't want to, just tune out, don't listen.
Yeah, I'll either put them in the end or include them in the middle.
Right, we'll include them at some point, and we'll definitely let you know that they are coming, so that way you don't have to, if you don't want to listen, just skip through that part, or if you do, stick through it.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely have images up on our Instagram, so you can check those out as well of Annalise. And again, those are also tough to look at as well. It's a very...
But for all that, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Fauzi Cave, or on Instagram, Fauzi Cave. And also, if you have any other suggestions or topics you would like us to cover in future episodes, you can email us at fauzicave@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to read your comments and reviews and all of that. We love all of you guys and all of our supporters as well.
Absolutely.
And don't forget...
To keep it creepy.
Keep it creepy.
And one more thing, you know, actually, no, that's it.
That's it.
Not this, but not this. Your house.
Ja.
Und weil der Hass ist, da gibt's keine Ruhe.
Nein! Und für uns gibt's nie Ruhe. Nie!
Weil
nein, Gott!